But first, another summer favorite, the family road trip. Many of us remember trekking across the country with books and movies in our bags and car games on our minds. But we also remember phrases like, don't make me stop this car, and don't touch me, mom, he's touching me. And of course, the ever popular, are we there yet? So, Kansas City, do you have a good, a bad, or just strange road trip memory from years past? Were you stuck in the middle seat for hundreds of miles? How did you pass the time in an era without video games, DVDs, and other distractions? Our number is 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also email us at uptodate@kcur.org. Well, here to help us make the most of the time we spend behind the wheel or in the back seat is Mark Seidenquist, the founder and managing editor of Road Trip America. That's a site that offers advice and helps road trippers plan out their journeys. Mark Seidenquist joins us now from the studios of KNPR in Las Vegas. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Elizabeth. Happy to be here.
Great. Now, tell us a little bit about how you got into road tripping. And yours wasn't the common experience. It started maybe with a fire?
Well, probably it started originally as a kid in the back seat and with a family road trips. But yeah, our house burned in a wildfire in 93, and we decided to hit the road since we had nothing to put in storage. We were going to go on the road for 6 months, and that turned into about 6.5 years of living on the road.
Okay, well, we'll qualify you as an expert then.
I'd say I'm a pro now.
Me too. Well, this might be a little bit of a tough question, but what's the best or the most memorable road trip you've ever taken?
Wow, there's so many different places. Actually, there's one that I would recommend in Kansas City. I mean, Kansas is directly to the west, and this time of year is the best time to go out looking at folk art. And in fact, in a couple of weeks, the Bluegrass Festival at Colby kicks off. And so one of the things that's really cool is just drive along I-70 and stop and look at some of the folk art as you go west.
Okay, that's a good one. What's the worst hotel or motel you ever ended up in after it really had run out of options?
Well, actually, that's easy. There's a place in Barstow that is called the Route 66 Motel, and it has a very interesting place, but you walk in and you realize right away. I mean, if you come to the check-in desk and it says, once you leave the office, there's no refunds, that's a good time to turn around and not rent.
Did you end up staying there?
No. I walked around, I took pictures, and I thought, there's just no way. It was a circular bed, and I just wasn't going to go for it.
I can understand that. And your longest road trip, what's that?
Longest road trip? Well, I was on the road for 6.5 years, so that was kind of a long road trip. But maybe a month where I didn't have any assignments, and we could just meander and go where we wanted to.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, what do you do to prepare for a road trip? And what are some kind of basic things that people need to remember as they prepare for theirs, especially going off with the kids somewhere this summer?
Well, family road trips are fabulous. I mean, it's a great time to spend time with your kids. And the best part of any road trip is probably the planning. And so you sit down and you kind of get a big map and some markers and mark down where you want to go. And really, it helps depending on the age of the kids, you can have them figure out where they'd like to go, and maybe even they can be the navigator for that day. So it's all about thinking about all the cool things that you can do. And then when you're actually on the trip, one of the things I think is fun is to get what we call a road trip go kit. You have a little backpack, and it has stuff that they can kind of play with during the day. But every morning, the parents put something in there that's brand new, that's just for that day. So that when the kids wake up, they know there's going to be something cool in the backpack that they can look at for that day's trip.
Good idea. Do you think the road trip in America with kids in tow is alive and well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have a really active forum where people come and give advice or ask for questions about when they want to take road trips. And without question, family road trips are still number one topic, and I guess the big shift has been is there are a lot more single parents who are asking questions about where to take their kids this year.
All right. Well, we want to hear from our listeners. The number is 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. And I also, on my own Facebook page this morning, asked people to give a little bit of their experience in road tripping throughout their lives. And Kelly said, my mom used to throw a jump rope down the center of the back of our un-air-conditioned station wagon. My sister and I were not allowed to cross it or touch each other. Michael said, my dad once thought that a fishing camping trip to Arma, Kansas was not so long that my cousin and I would ride in the bed without the benefit of a camper shell of his Chevy pickup while he and my uncle and older brother rode in the cab. I remember the sunburn.
Well, you sure can do that now.
From that long, hot ride home. Yeah, you can't really do that now. And is it taken away a little bit, the fact that I know when I was going on road trips with my four siblings, we played the license plate game. We played the counting the cows on the sides of the road. We used to have some kind of road trip bingo. Today they have their own video games, their smartphones, their DVDs in the car. How do you make that sort of a memorable experience for your family?
Well, some of those games you can still do. The thing is that depending on where you travel, the smartphones don't always work. Unless you're on an interstate highway in the West, you're not going to have that service. But one of the things you can certainly do is, depending on the age of the kid, they could ride in the right front seat and they can be a navigator for a few hours. They can tell you where to go and where to get off and so much more engaged in the process. It also has the other thing to remember about family road trips is it's not supposed to be a job. You're not supposed to be spending 10 hours in the back seat. We generally recommend that no one travel more than 10 hours, which is about 500 miles. But with kids, I would drop that down to 5 hours and also plan to spend time if you're going to stay overnight in a motel, stay at the motel until the checkout time and go in the pool and sleep in and make it much more of an adventure so that the memories are more about what a cool time we had and not miles and miles of driving.
Well, and it also, speaking to that point, it really makes a difference when we can slow down and not be in such a hurry to go someplace all the time, which it seems like all families are in that state right now.
Well, one of the things that parents can do too is kind of brush up on the local knowledge of whatever they're driving through. What I really remember as a kid was that we would you'd drive through the West and you'd see the road cuts and my parents would point out what rocks they were. And I still have memories about some of the first things I learned in geology were from being in the back seat of a car.
Interesting. Well, we do have a caller. Darcy is from KCK. Darcy, you're on the air.
Well, good morning. How are you folks?
Good morning. We're great.
We're great.
When I was a child, I'm talking the 50s and early 60s, before they had all the highway system in place. I was raised in Chicagoland, and we had a place that we used to go to in northern Wisconsin. So it was somewhat of a haul for five children. So we used to play what was called the alphabet game. And it went, A is for apple. And the next person had to go apple. B is for whatever. Banana. Apple, banana, and you had to go through the whole alphabet.
So is this something you're seeing on the road or something just to get the kids thinking about their alphabet and letters and spelling?
Just letters and words. And you had to remember all the words before, and if you forgot a word, out.
It's sort of a memory game then.
So it's a memory game too, and I remember one, and I think I've got two different things crammed together, and it's kind of funny. I don't know if you guys want to hear it or not, but it had Mom and Dad laughing between all the things. Dad couldn't play because he was the driver.
Uh-huh. It's hard to concentrate. All right, Darcy, thank you so much for the call. Mark, I guess that's just this topic brings up such happy memories for people, and that's really what you're making for your family, your kids, or your friends, or whoever you road trip with.
And one of the things that's very cool about living in Kansas City is that you can, in a day's drive, you can be in 13 states and such a wide variety of history and places to go exploring. On roadtripamerica.com, we have a map program that lets you identify attractions within a certain range of any town, like Kansas City. And there are places that are specifically of interest to road trippers. We don't list everything. All of our writers have to go there and say, I really like this, and this is why I liked it. And so you can spend a day looking at the covered bridges in Missouri, the Pony Express Museum. There's an Oz Museum in Kansas. All sorts of things that make really cool day trips for kids.
Yeah, so you don't necessarily have to stay in a roach motel, as we used to call them when we were kids.
Absolutely not. I mean, motels overall have gotten much nicer. And it used to be, I mean, one of the scary things about a road trip when I was a kid was, you know, trying to find a place that was clean enough to take your kids for bathrooms. And these days, that is not an issue. Restaurants, truck stops in particular, are now travel centers. They've changed their names, and they really cater to family road trips.
Well, and the internet has changed everything, too. How do sites like TripAdvisor change the landscape of the road trips?
TripAdvisor, I think the big wave these days is Yelp and those types of sites where you get a lot of user comments. You can't really have, if you're going to be in business and you don't provide a really good service to travelers, you're not going to stay in business long because people are going to talk about it. With Road Trip America, we do our own sort of site evaluations, and we talk about why we like to place and what is really unique about it. But you're right. With smartphone technology and social media sites, you can find out a lot of things that you couldn't find before.
And when you talk about these sites that you review them, I guess, on Road Trip America, so you get their attention and do you hear back and get responses when you don't have a good experience there and you talk about it?
We do, although pretty much the way it works on Road Trip America, we don't do reviews per se. We write about places that appeal to us, and if it didn't appeal to us, we don't publish an article about it. And so that doesn't happen very often. Now, on the forum, which is much more open and people give their personal experiences, you know, a negative experience is as good as a positive experience as long as it's based on something that really happened. I mean, one of the ways you can get ostracized in a hurry on the forum is to say any place was boring. And so, you know, we make a point that there is no boring places. There's always something fascinating to find. And I've been traveling. I'm coming up on, something over 600, maybe 750,000 miles. I haven't found a boring place yet. So
sometimes it's just your own attitude about the place that you're stopping at.
And also, you know, every day, if you take a trip every day, if you're a commuting road, every day can be a road trip. It's you kind of turn a switch in your brain and you look at it. If today is a new adventure, I'm going to take a slightly different route, or the weather's different, or whatever. And so, you know, you can kind of enjoy being on a road trip no matter where you're headed.
That's true. Well, we have a comment from Kate, who said, we had a Volkswagen van. It had AC, but it never worked. One year, the heater was stuck on. My older sister commandeered the third seat so she could sleep, so my younger sister and I were stuck in the smaller middle seat. Good times. Steve said, in the early 60s, we went to visit my grandparents in Florida every year. Dad would go to KC Auto Auction, buy a year-old Cadillac with AC for our trip. Still remember my sister and I sleeping out in the Florida room of the grandparents' house as the DDT spraying trucks fogged the neighborhood. So there's a lot of memories. But a lot of things I'm hearing from people, they're remembering, and I remember my own experience, not having AC. But I don't think that's really a worry anymore.
All right. Almost all cars have it. And in fact, you don't even open your windows generally because that ruins the aerodynamics and the car doesn't travel as well. You know, I had another tip. I mean, one of the things that people think about is eating on the road. And one of the things you should always have is a cooler in your car and keep fresh vegetables and water and plan to eat a picnic somewhere along the route. You know, you might have, if you're out on the road trip, you might have breakfast at a restaurant and maybe you'll have dinner at a restaurant, but you could certainly eat out of your cooler for lunchtime and get out and play. You know, one of the things that's really, for kids, you ought to probably stop every 2 to 3 hours, let them burn off some energy and run around, play Frisbee, do the chicken dance, something that gets the energy going.
Well, that wouldn't have been my dad, I know, but you were never stopping. We do have a call from Leslie in Kansas City, Missouri. She's got a question, I think, about pets. Hi, Leslie.
Hi. Yeah, I was wanting to do maybe a cross-country trip with my dog, kind of a Travels with Charlie sort of thing. And I have been kind of trying to decide whether just to, you know, rent a car or maybe take an RV or something. But I just am not sure if I take a car, how to find places to stay, that would accept a pet, or, you know, even if you had any suggestions about if I did rent an RV, maybe suggestions on that vein as well.
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, traveling with a pet is kind of a growth industry in motels these days. There are motels that specialize in providing lodging for pets. And so you can go on websites and find out about them. The big thing about traveling with a dog is you ought to make sure you carry water. And there are ways to make sure that you know, dogs don't have an upchuck problem. In terms of an RV, it's a great lifestyle thing. It'll run you about three times as much money to actually, by the time you figure out your costs when you're actually doing an RV rental. So if you have plenty of money, I'm sure that would be easier for the dog. But there are plenty of places where you can stay, nice places that you can stay with pets.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Leslie. Mark, what do you think are one or two essential things people forget to bring with them on road trips? You talked about the cooler, but are there other things that people forget that they wish in hindsight that they'd brought?
Well, let's see. I have a whole list of things I like to carry. And I actually, well, I would certainly, you want to make sure you take a blanket, not so much for warmth, but just to be cozy. In the wintertime, you know, you carry candles so that if you don't have power for some reason, you can still have some warmth and some light. One of the things that is kind of old technology, but I recommend that everyone carry in their car, is a CB radio, so they can get weather alerts and also they can talk to truckers if they need to. It's not a radio that's tough to learn, and I never go on a road trip without one.
And you talk to the truckers?
I talk to truckers. I talk to other people on the roads. These days, I pretty much use it for weather alerts when I'm traveling across country. The National Weather Service has a series of weather alerts that are specific areas. And so if you're traveling through the south and there's a tornado in the area, it's very nice to know where it is so you're not trying to drive right into the storm.
Absolutely. We have an email from Daylene. She says, when we traveled, my son was little, and in advance of the trip, I would go to the dime store and buy a bag full of trinkets, things that would be new to him but didn't cost a lot. Just before boredom or tragedy would strike on the road, I'd give him one of these things. As he got older, he looked forward to what was in the goodie bag. So these are some kind of fun ideas for parents to travel with small children with.
Yeah, and that's sort of like the backpack idea that I mentioned earlier. It's a really cool thing that if you build in the expectation that something, besides the stuff they're going to see on the road that day, natural attractions or going to a park, they're going to get something in their bag that's just for them that their parents thought of putting in there for them.
What are some of the most common mistakes people make when they are driving long distances? I would think not knowing when to stop. I think I remember one of my own experiences in college going from the University of Arkansas to Gulf Shores, Alabama. We tried to drive straight through, or we did. And I can remember my friend was so fatigued, she thought a plane landed on the road in front of us. You can really get yourself
scary.
Into some trouble. Yeah.
Yeah, by far the number one mistake that every road tripper makes is they try and drive too many miles in a day and they try and see too much. With kids, it's really important that you think about how when they're the most active. And in many ways, it's better to leave, say, start a drive at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and drive until 11. They're kind of sleepy anyway. Then you get to a motel and they're already asleep and you let them sleep in and play in the pool and then you hit the road again. The worst possible time to drive is if you're driving into the sun, whether you're driving west in the morning or, you know, you're looking at this rising sun, east, I should say. And so it's also really important that the drivers be rested. There's nothing worse than having, your friend who saw the plane landing in front of them. But if you hit a traffic circle and you're not used to them and it's, you know, 7 in the morning and you've been up all night, that's not a good plan.
That's for sure. Our number is 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. We'd like to know your thoughts from our listeners, and we'd like to know what kind of advice you have for passing the time on road trips. Now, we do have a call from Lynn from Lewisburg. What's your question or your comment, Lynn?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was just going to say, whenever I know I have two teenage sons, and whenever I know something is bothering them or that we need to have a talk, the car is still my favorite place to go because they can't leave.
They can't open the door and get out, huh?
And our best talks come in the car.
That's a really good point. Thank you, Lynn.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, Mark, I think you probably hear of, or I think we find a lot of interesting family powwows in cars because people, they are there and they kind of have to be engaged.
They have to be engaged, and you can talk to, you know, these days there's so many between sport activities and academic things you have to do. There isn't a lot of time where of just talking with your parents. And actually, one of the coolest things, and you know, certainly was in my own experience, is singing songs. You know, you learn songs from your parents that you're not likely to get any other way. My dad had the most incredible knowledge of these old songs, and I still remember most of them. I still sing most of them. And that's an experience that, you know, you're just not likely to create any other way.
It's like a gift, really. We have
Absolutely.
A call from Linister, if I'm pronouncing the name right, from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Yes, indeed. Good morning. Most of what I do when I'm on the road and I want to find a good meal, I really don't like fast food. So you go into a small town and you figure out where the people would eat after church. They have their good clothes on, so it would be clean. And it would be probably pretty good food. It's always worked for me.
Okay, thank you very much. Do you agree with that, Mark?
I'll give you another tip that's really great. If you're on a road trip and you want to find about something cool in a neighborhood, go get your nails done or get a haircut. The people hanging around at barbershops, they like to talk about their community. They know what's going on. And I have found attractions and places to stay that I never would have found any other way.
Yeah, I've always found small diners in places, in small towns too, can also have some of the greatest food and great tips, where people kind of sit and they still kind of chat. They still will talk.
There's certainly some of that. The thing is that it used to be that you'd look for where the sheriff was parked because they probably had a pretty good food. But, you know, what's interesting is that because of the rise of social media and the sites like Yelp, you really can't get away with bad food. People just don't go back, and there's no need to. And so, and the other thing that certainly has happened is that there was over the last 30 years, there's been a big move away from small towns, but now a lot of urban families are moving back to small towns and activating old restaurants. So you can find some pretty amazing food way off the interstates.
Absolutely. Well, we have one more call that we can take from Tim in Kansas City, Missouri. Tim, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I had the opportunity about 3 years ago to take a road trip driving cross-country to Connecticut for a new job with my father. We shared in the driving, and I think it's a great experience for people to have taking these road trips later in life and being able to speak with their families for long periods of time in the car, and just great topics came up, and we got to visit Gettysburg, and that really instilled in me an interest in something that my father is interested in, which is the Civil War. So.
Great call. Thank you, Tim.
Yep, thank
Mark,
you.
That is, we really didn't talk about that, but adult children and their parents taking road trips together, that sounds like a unique idea.
Well, I did a trip a couple of years ago. My dad has Alzheimer's, and before it got really extreme, we took a trip back to where he grew up. And my brother and I, and so we got to see all of the area that he sort of remembers. His memories are pretty well set back from a period when he was about 15. And so we saw that country in his eyes, and that was an amazing trip. It was really great.
Well, let me ask you, what are the most frequent questions you get from people who interact with you on your website? What do people really want to know?
Well, they usually know where they're starting from and where they're going, and they want to know attractions along the way. That's number one. Number two would be, do I need to get a motel reservation or can I just rely on what's out there? And in most cases these days, you really don't need a reservation unless you're going to be staying in a place around a national park or something where there's a major event like 4th of July going on. It really comes down to personal risk on how comfortable you are with arriving in a town and not having a reservation. The only thing I'd say about that is that In the West, in states like Colorado, Montana, Wyoming, midweek, you'd think, well, these small towns won't be, you know, there'll be plenty of places to stay. And all the motels will always be full, and it's because that's a summer swim league, and every motel is taken. But generally, you can always find a place without a reservation.
And gas prices, how is that affecting road trips? And I assume people are trying to stop at the best places for gas.
Well, the interesting thing about fuel prices is that it doesn't really affect much on the road, because the cost of fuel, even if it went up, say, another dollar, that's only about the cost over a 5-day trip. That's about the cost of one motel room. Where gas prices make a huge difference is our everyday commute costs, and we have less money to spend on vacations. But the actual difference in fuel, I mean, we've been tracking the effect that fuel prices have had on people who actually take road trips over the last 11 years, almost no changes. The only exception to that would be if you drive an RV. These days, you know, to fill up an RV costs about $400, and that's a lot of money if every time you fuel up.
Oh, yeah. Well, did that surprise you? Did you expect people to stay home more?
You know, I think initially when we started tracking this 5 years ago or so, or setting the numbers 5 years ago, because we've been looking at it for a decade, we thought there'd be more effect, but we really don't see it. I mean, there is as many people planning the road trips that come to our site now as there ever have been. I guess the biggest change over the last 3 or 4 years is there's probably more activity from Europe and Asia. Because when they come to the United States, the fuel seems so cheap to them, they think that's free.
Yeah.
And so they have no problem at all spending our dollars.
All right. Well, last question. What is your bottom line, best piece of advice you can give someone if they're thinking about hopping in the car and taking a trip, not even in the summer, but anytime?
Well, get plenty of rest and really, you know, enjoy it. It's not a job. It's like, be open to adventure. If you're driving down a road and you see a little tiny road going off the horizon, go check it out. And also use paper maps. I mean, there's a lot of reliance these days on using GPS technology, and it's a great tool. But sometimes GPS does not think about what the roads are really like, and you really need to use some common sense and use paper maps and go have a good time.
All right. Mark Seidenquist is the founder and managing editor of Road Trip America. You can see more of his work at roadtripamerica.com. Mark, thank you so much for being with us today.
Elizabeth, thank you for inviting me.